Are we on here? Here we go. I did like y'all guys. I visited longer than I need to. It's past time to get started, and I apologize. I don't know if y'all knew that I would be teaching here tonight, doing this class tonight, but the folks must have because the crowd's down. Well, they might be. They might still be at the funeral home. Well, I'll...
Is Ben's grandma worse
or something? Why is he teaching?
Why is he teaching?
I mean, I can sit down if you need me to. Yes. Yes. Ben's grandmother is... He said that he texted and said his grandmother said that she told the doctor that that she was ready to go, and he didn't know how long that might take. The doctor said that, and he, you know, went through that deal. And so, yeah, that's what he said. And he says, I'm unsure how long it will take. He said he didn't think it would be long, but he could be wrong. So it said, plan for me not to be there tonight. So we made that plan, and I'm here. And I'm sorry, Miss Betty. No, I'm just kidding.
I just want you to be clear about what I'm talking about.
All right. Now, before we get started here tonight, I'll ask Mr. Bob to lead us in opening prayer, and then we'll get going. Thank you, Mr. Bob. Okay, we're in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, starting in verse 3. While you're looking that up, Millard's going to, already has it on the board. But I would like to say one thing about Mr. Morris Shedd. Talked to his sons today. Went through the line and talked to Stan and Steve and Stacy. Every one of them, as I went through the line, they said, they told me, man, said the one thing that my dad missed is he missed coming here to Etheridge. He missed coming to church. And when all three of them told me that, and they said, you know, there's some of the last things that he said that you can understand that were coherent, he said, is that he really missed coming to church here. He really missed his church family and missed being able to be here. And I thought to myself, a lot of times throughout our life, as we go through our lives, that we have opportunity maybe to be here and we choose either not to, or we have something come up, or and then you get to the point where Morris was at and not able to be here, and he would have he would have been given anything to be able to come just one more time to worship here. So that's just one of those things that that he was that really meant so much to him. And I just want us to kind of always remember that also as we live our lives here in our Christian lives, as we go about our days. Okay. Now, having said that, what I would like to do is I would like to start in verse 3 and read down through verse 8. I hope we get through this quick so we can get to the other part, because the last part of this chapter is just, man, it's just really good stuff. But we will do this first part from verse 3 down through verse 8. So, without further ado, Joey. And the reason I call on Joey is he's my reader next door. So since he's here, I'll just call on him. He's got a good, strong, manly voice. Yeah, that's exactly. I told him I'd double his pay if he'd read over here. Yeah.
Before I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. For prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. For ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
Thank you, Joy. Okay. These verses we got to remember. Again, I've said this, if you've been next door, I've said it umpteen times. If you've been here, I don't know if I said it last week or not, but I'll say it now. This book that we're reading, the book that we're studying, was a letter, all one letter, that it was written to the Christians in Rome. He wrote this to the Christians in Rome, and evidently these Christians in Rome were fairly educated people, because Paul uses some big talk here, but not so particularly much in this verse. What he's saying is, and when he goes through here, you got to remember this applies to us also, but it applies to them a whole lot, because he talks about by the grace that was given me. And that means the grace that was given Paul was that forgiveness, that he had that ability to share this with these people, because God had showed mercy on him and had given him this gift, this mercy that he truly didn't deserve. Because and I know we all know about Saul of Tarsus. He was basically, he's kind of a hired assassin. He was kind of a hired mercenary, whatever you want to call it, for the Jews, the people in the Sanhedrin and that stuff, because he'd drag Christians out, and the Jews didn't like the Christians at that point anyway, and he'd drag them out and he'd have them killed, and he's right in the middle of all of that stuff. So he was basically kind of a because it was okay with the government part, like the Jews and them, so he wasn't necessarily a criminal, but he was doing things that were just, like he tells us, he was the chief of sinners, and that's why he says here, by the graces given me, that God has forgiven me and given me this opportunity, and now I want to share this and tell you about this. And he tells us all this, and I went through all of that to say, then he steps up and he tells the Jews, he said, don't think too highly of yourself. Now, we could all use that verse. We can all go back to that and think about that we need to do that, is not to think too highly of ourselves more than we ought to. But it talks about, and there's other versions of this that talk about and I can't remember, like the EC Reed says something different, and the Message talks about, you know, if you think too much of yourself, you get knocked down. But what Paul's saying is he is talking to the Jews at that point. He's talking to the Jews and telling them, I know that, you know, I beat y'all guys down for the last, you know, they weren't in chapters then, but for the last 11 chapters, I've beat y'all guys down and told you how you haven't had that. You gave up your opportunity because you didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah, and that's why the Gentiles are here. But now these Jews, some of these are Christians, and he's saying, don't think of yourself any better than the Gentiles. You're all just, everybody in Jesus is the same, and they're all the same. The bond or free or Greek or Jew or whatever that might be. And then it says, because all of us are just one body. We're all, you know, just like our bodies, and we have different, you know, each finger and each hand and all of these other things that we have, they all function as one. And that's what he said that basically that the church is like. He's saying basically the church is one body. We all have a job. Nobody's job is any more important than the other job. And we all have things that we've been blessed with, we've been given, and we've been prospered with. And if we have that, if we have the ability, that's why he talks about the ability to prophesy. He said, if you have the ability to prophesy, then prophesy. And if it's teaching, teach. If it's serving, serve. Whatever they might be, if that is your, if that is what your ministry is, or if that's where you feel your gift has been, then he said, use it. But the other people that don't do that, don't be jealous of those that are able to do these things. You do your part and you do it well, and that way it'll all function together and everything will work together. Now, that's the way I take on these verses right here. Does anybody have anything on these verses before we go farther? I must have either did a really good job or nobody wants to talk. Okay, now, these verses right here, from 9 through the end of the chapter. Joey, if you'll read those, we'll get started on these. Thank you, Joey. Okay, now, I would like someone in here that has, I would like to go to three different versions here tonight. So, Diane, do you have God's Word? Okay. Blynn, do you have the Message? I mean, do you really have the Message? Okay. And the reason being, I said that, we were next door and I asked Belinda to read something out of the Message. And it was, it had switched over there to the King James. And it was switched over to the King James, and she read it, and Diane was like, My message doesn't read like that at all. So you have the message. Does somebody have the easy read? Can somebody get the easy read? All right, we got Lonzo's got the easy read. Okay, I'm going to ask y'all guys to read different verses here because it brings up, it says it in different ways here that as we go through these. Now, you look at these verses right here. These verses from verse 21, I mean from verse 9 down through verse 21. Boy, you talk about, this is what, let me find where I'm at here. All right. From verse 9 through 21. Can you tell me, if you look at these verses right here, is this not what Christian love should look like? Is this right here not exactly what it looks like? I mean, we could spend from now on talking about this. It says, Paul says, love must be sincere. He said it must be sincere. It must be real. It said, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Okay, you say, okay, that's pretty easy. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love and honor one another above others. Now, what does, Diane, what does God's word say in that? Verse 10. Yeah, does that not sound, that sounds so much different than what this, what the NIV talks about right here. It says be devoted to one another, but in brotherly love, but it talks about excel in showing, what was the word?
Respect.
Showing respect to one another. I mean, that is so big. That is so big that where it talks about this. And some of these things here, it brings it more to light in the way we think about it. Even in the NIV, it's a little bit harder. It says, never lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now, and be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Lonnie, what does the easy read say there? 11 and 12. Be excited. Be excited when you serve the Lord. How many of us are excited about, and I'll have to exclude Brad from this because I don't know if I've ever seen him excited or not. But do what, Brad? be excited. How many of us are excited when we think about serving the Lord? About doing good stuff for the Lord or being, you know, anything that we're asked to do, not even anything that we're asked to do, anything that we see that we can do for the Lord. How many of us are excited about that? How many of us, what does it say about in affliction, Lonzo, that last part? Be joyful in hope. And what's the last, at verse 12?
Be happy because of the hope you have. Be patient when you have troubles. Pray all the time.
Yes. Be patient when you have troubles. Sometimes we are so, and listen, it is so hard. And us as Christians, it's hard on... when you look at all the things that have happened in up north here in Nashville and east of Nashville, all the people that have been... families that have been devastated. See, we can sit here... We can sit here as Christians in this nice building And when everything is going okay with us, and we can look at this and we're like, yeah, we need to be patient when we have troubles. We need to pray always. When you're going through some of the things that these people, and listen, I hate, Miller and I were talking about this today. I truly am sorry and hate that those people have lost their stuff. They've lost their houses and they've lost their, their belongings and those things. But those things can be replaced. Those people that have lost family, when they read this verse, be patient when you're in trouble, when you're having troubles, and pray always. Be faithful in prayer. That puts it to the test. That puts it down to where the rubber meets the road, because it's so easy for us to say that, but man, if you're in that situation and you have to live that during that time, that is so. These things, these couple of verses that we've read down to verse 12 have so much already in them to help us if we truly could focus on these and do these in our Christian lives every day. All right, anybody on up to verse 12? Verse 13. It said, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Linda, what does the message say? Can you break that down?
Help needy Christians be invented in hospitality.
Say it again.
Help needy Christians be invented in hospitality.
Yeah. Be inventive. Yeah, that's the word that I remember reading. In other words, don't necessarily wait. In the easy read here, it says, look for people. And that's be inventive. Look for people who need help and welcome them into your homes. Now, most of us don't do that anymore because I really don't know. I guess the way things are, you don't know. The times, maybe that's just an excuse, I don't know. But that's what it says. But do we look for people who are in need? Or do we look away from people who are in need because we don't really want to be involved with them? And the people that are in need, sometimes do we help them and say, okay, that's enough? I don't know. Lonnie and Marty probably know more about this than any of us sitting here being in charge of benevolence, that you help people. And that's one of those things that you always remember what Big Chuck said, you don't want to be an enabler. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, James. Yeah. Yeah, that falls right in with what we're talking about here, because what we're going to do next Sunday, the 15th, whichever Sunday that is, the 15th, we are going to have a special contribution for those people up there that had been affected by this tornado and that need help. Some of it's going to go to an organization that we have dealt with in the past that does really good work. And the other part of it will go to families that actually will have need. So, and we have opportunity, as James said, to maybe if we can't go physically, and sometimes they don't need people physically. Sometimes they have too many people. They just get in each other's way. But what they always need is money. And we'll have an opportunity to do that on the 15th. So we'll have a special contribution for those folks up there. And if you can start planning on that now to do all you can for that, then I know that those people will appreciate it, and then God will bless us, this congregation, for that. Okay. Oh, here we go. Joey. Well, it tells us, and I don't remember where the verse is, but it says, be, I can't remember what exactly it says, but it says, especially of those of the household of faith. It talks about those of the household of faith. And it's talking about us. So if we have opportunity to do good to all men, do good to all men, especially those in the household of faith. So if we have that opportunity, yes, and we see it, then that's what we need to do. But if we have opportunity, especially with the people that are, that it says in the church, that are Christians.
Well, I know we've helped
yes.
people.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
why. Well, jump ahead and read it, James. Yeah. Yeah. It says.
Or of the household.
Yeah, there you go. I was pretty close. Yeah. So that's the deal. Yes. So I hope that helps answer your question, Joy. All right. Now it says in verse 14, Diane, what does verse 14 say in God's word? Bless them and don't curse them. All right. All right, here goes in. Lonnie, you read the easy read.
Wish only good for those who treat you badly. Ask God to bless them, not curse them.
Okay, both of them. See, because a lot of times when we look at persecution, we look at persecution as like, you know, not like you do. Because honestly, most of us here are not really persecuted like we think about, like they were in the early church. But when you read that other one, for those who treat you badly, in verse 14 of the easy read, it says, wish only good to those who treat you badly. Now, how many of us have had folks that have treated us badly? That one, that shoe, I believe, that shoe fits our foot better than the persecution part, because we can relate to that better. How many of us are real good at that? That goes back to the golden rule. Do ye unto others as you would have them do unto you. So it says, and it goes on over in verse 20 where James read that just a second ago. How many of us are very good at that? Yeah, that's it, Joey. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, when people aren't good to us, and I mean, we go home and we struggle with that. We're like, I just don't care for that person. I'm not going to, you know, or whatever our case might be. We don't display that Christian attitude that Paul's telling these people here to do, and the same thing Jesus tells us. That's tough. And this next verse, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice. In other words, be happy with those that are happy, and cry with those who cry, or mourn with those who mourn. That verse is pretty self-explanatory. I guess here's the thing. Are we better at mourning with those who mourn or being happy with those who are happy? Happy? It's easier for us to do that. See, and he asks us to do both. He tells these folks, we need to do both of these. We need to, basically, well, you know what he's saying? He's saying, be there for the people. You got to be there to be able to rejoice, and you got to be there to be able to mourn with them. So your job is to be there, to be here with one another. It says, live in harmony with one another. How many of us have struggled sometimes living in harmony with those people that... is he talking about Christians or is he talking about people in general? Say again. He's talking about everybody? Huh? How good do we do with and we're living in peace with folks that we work with that sometimes it don't see things the way we do. And even let me stop here, and I'm not being political, believe me, because I don't want to open that can of worms, but look here. Live in peace. It says live in harmony with one another. During this political time right here, how many of us, how many Democrats and Republicans live in harmony with one another? Lee, but you don't have no choice, boy. You're married to the opposite of where you're at, and that's all I'm gonna say about that. Yes, that's what we got to be first. Yeah, Christians first. Lee, you said. Yeah, there you go. Well, it's
a different thing he's talking about, because everything we're told about being a Christian here is that we're in a battle. Who are we fighting against? It's a battle.
So that's why I asked that question. To begin with, are we talking about Christians here or are we talking about the world?
I don't think we can be in harmony with the world and be a Christian.
What do y'all think?
I agree with everyone, but I think get along with each other, don't be stuck
Yeah, and I think what you're saying, Belinda, is right. You can get along with folks and disagree with them. You can get along with people and you can go along with them, not necessarily go along with them, but you can be civil and not agree with what they're saying. And you don't agree with their lifestyle and you don't agree with a lot of the things that they do, but but you can still get along with them. Yeah.
You gotta teach them like you teach every other.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's probably a better way. Because see, sometimes these versions here are different, that some versions will help you understand a little bit better. Yeah, there you go, Pam. Yeah, that's the deal, Michelle. You get along with people, but you don't condone what they do. Yeah.
Some of the better relationships, as far as friendships that I have, we all know where we stand. And, you know, you cross the line, whatever, but I'm going to let you know. If I cross the line, they're going to let me know. And to me, that's some of the best friendships.
Right.
It's that transparency and that honesty. You're not going to get along. And I said joking a while ago, you know, about a spouse. It's no different in a marital relationship. You show me a couple of But don't you, because if you've got friends, yeah, you agree to disagree.
Yeah.
You know, but you can still, you don't have to, it's not fancy. You don't know what to do, but you can still be friends.
Yes.
Love and care.
Yeah. See, now, I don't know if I'll be here next week or not, but I would like for y'all guys to, you don't have to report back to me, but I would like y'all guys to read these verses again and practice. Even think about writing down how you did with each one of these things that we didn't get to the rest of them. Where it gets down to the other part, because I would have liked to got to verse 19, but we'll get to that, Lord willing, next week. But these verses right here, man, when I read these, I read it over like two or three times. I read it in all three, four, five different versions. And if we could take these, if we could take this section of scripture and we could take it and copy it off and put it on a refrigerator and read it every single day, I think it would help us to be better Christians. What we need to do is do that, read it every day and look at them and say, how did I do today? How did I live out those verses today? And that should be our goal and our desire every single day, is to try to live out these verses. Thank you all.